Welcome back to Inside on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. Black History Month begins tomorrow, and as we reflect and celebrate the contributions by Black and African Americans, what better way to do so than sample some of the best Black-owned restaurants across Sacramento, a restaurant scene that has evolved and grown in recent years, shaped by racial and social justice. Joining us is Benji Eagle, food and beverage reporter for the Sac Bee, with a taste of Black-owned restaurants well-deserving of recognition and what he recommends trying. Good morning, Benji.
Hi, Vicky.
This is a fun segment. So we are excited to hear your recommendations. We have a nice sampler across Sacramento and just a few of the many to try. But when it comes to Black and African American restaurants to try, is there a definition for what Black food is?
Not really, or at least it's a little unclear. You know, it can be a little controversial, but I would say that Black food is anything that, you know, has the heart and soul of Black people in it. And so, you know, that could be everything from a restaurant that serves African food, to a barbecue restaurant, to soul food, to, you know, something that crosses the borders there, you know, and mixes things up. I think that, you know, certain people have sort of ideas of what Black food should be or could be. But I think that, you know, as long as the chef and owner come from that background, and they're really, you know, putting their heart and soul into it, it can be sort of anything.
Given that you have been following restaurants around for years or decades, you are a Sacramento native, right? How has the restaurant scene when it comes to Black-owned businesses changed in just recent years?
It's really evolved over the last few years. I tagged along with a community activist, Barry Axios, in 2019, and he had a goal to only eat out at Black-owned restaurants in February. And he was only, you know, and he was eating out every single day at these restaurants. And part of the point was to support Black-owned businesses, but it was also to raise awareness for how few Black-owned restaurants there were, because he kept repeating the same, you know, 12 or 14 places. And in the 3 or 4 years since that, there has been a lot of growth. I can think of about a dozen new Black-owned restaurants that have opened around Sacramento, and they're serving all kinds of food. You know, you have African food, you have soul food, you have high-end restaurants that are Black-owned. You really have a lot going on. So I think that's been some good growth. I think that there's still a lot of room for more restaurants to enter the scene. But I think that there's been some progress over the last few years in that regard.
And this also comes at a time of calls for racial and social justice. I mean, we're having this conversation at a time when, as a country, we are once again witnessing traumatic police violence. Tyre Nichols, who's from Sacramento, was beaten to death by police in Memphis. Those officers are now charged with second-degree murder. And we don't have to go that far back to remember the protests across the country and in Sacramento following the murder of George Floyd. How do you think these moments kind of changed the way people thought or supported Black-owned restaurants?
I think Black people were already interested prior to the George Floyd murder in supporting Black-owned businesses and Black-owned restaurants. But I think that that murder and the protests that followed really opened the eyes of a lot of other people to systemic racism, to things that Black people deal with today, and that they wanted to support and, you know, to be on the right side, I guess, you know, and so they wanted to go out and support Black-owned businesses after that. I remember talking to Najina Goyton, who owned South at the time. She said that, you know, in June, particularly around Juneteenth of 2020, her restaurant was busier than it had ever been. They were just slammed. I also think that Najina would say that, you know, that's great, and it's great to support Black-owned restaurants in February, but they need that support year-round as well,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, there's 12 months in a year, right?
Exactly.
Okay, so let's get to your selection. And this is just a few of really great eats to try. Let's start off with Nash & Proper. They have a dedicated following of people who followed the food truck around. What started as a food truck, now there's a brick and mortar. But it was part of the Calling All Dreamers competition. What do you love about Nash & Proper?
You know, there's a lot of restaurants serving hot chicken around Sacramento. Yep. I think Nash & Proper is the most popular one, and I think they're the best one, too. I also love that they have a cauliflower option that's pretty good for, you know, people who don't eat chicken, and that they're willing to push the boundaries. They did something with, like, a hot chicken and vanilla ice cream sandwich, which I have to admit, wasn't for me, but I love that they're like trying new things like
A
that.
A for effort.
Pushing the envelope, yeah.
Okay, so when it comes to Nashville-style fried chicken, it just seems like it's gotten a lot of hype over the years. What makes it so special?
It's not just a hot sauce on some chicken. You know, there's a rub that they put on it. And, you know, then you have, is the chicken cooked well enough? How's the crispiness of the batter, you know, on the outside? I think it's something that you can do cheaply and quickly and not that well pretty easily. But Nash and Proper really puts in a lot of time and care into the, you know, their spice rub and, you know, how good it is, really. So I think that they stand out for that in my eyes, at least.
All right, we're going to travel like 15, 20 minutes into Placer County and go to Roseville. So that's Q1227, and that's described as modern comfort food, and it's by Quentin Chef Q Bennett. And 1227 is the day that that restaurant opened, correct? That's why it's named that?
That's right. It's also his birthday.
Oh, it's also his birthday. So it features some Southern recipes, but a more elevated menu. Give us a kind of like a palate tour of this restaurant for people who haven't actually tried it.
So something that, you know, stands out when I look at their menu is they have jambalaya, as a lot of Southern restaurants do, but they're loading it up with a million different things. There are crab legs in there, you know, and so they're attaching a higher price point to it. But, you know, they're putting in a lot of things that would justify that higher price point. They also have these market price seafood baskets. I got one and it was, you know, north of $200, but it was for, you know, to share between 3 or 4 or 5 people. And it's just kind of decadent, opulent, you know, shellfish and bites of this and bites of that. And, you know, it's really an elevated concept. Chef Q also, you know, to his knowledge, he's the only Black chef owner in Placer County. So I think there's been a lot of support for him, both for his food and for people wanting to support a Black-owned restaurant out there.
What is his culinary story here in Sacramento or the greater Sacramento area?
Sure. He was the chef at Echo and Rig near Golden One Center in downtown Sacramento. And so it's funny, if you walk to the bathroom in Q1227 now, you'll see a million photos of him with celebrities, a lot of basketball players who are going to play games at Golden One Center. Or, you know, he did a lot of private dining cooking as well. So he's got tons of photos with actors and actresses and whoever it is. So, yeah, he's definitely rubbing shoulders with the stars.
So this one I haven't heard of, and I'm really excited to learn about it. It's Naija Boy Tacos. And it's a pretty interesting concept. Nigerian food, but also as a taco or torta.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's owned by Rashid Amedu, whose parents immigrated to Chicago from Nigeria. And then he moved out to Sacramento as an adult, cooked around a few restaurants around town. He was a sous chef at Urban Roots, another Black-owned restaurant here in town. And then he opened his own place. And it's sort of a blend of his Nigerian roots with Calimex cooking. So one thing that stands out to me is they have a milanesa, which is kind of a more typical Mexican dish. But they've coated it in this spice called suya that's kind of smoky, spicy. It comes with a little mixture of egusi mole verde. Mole verde is, you know, a green Mexican sauce, but egusi is a melon seed stew from Nigeria. So he's really getting outside the box. He's really inventive. I think there's nothing else like this in the U.S. as a whole.
Yeah, that is so interesting. I mean, what stands out to you about this type of fusion?
You know, I think that Calimex or Tex-Mex cooking can get a little bit of a bad rap. People associate it with chilies and, you know, Chevys and places like that. But it's part of, you know, what we eat every day, whether we realize it or not. And Rashid is taking his own background and kind of infusing that into this, you know, into this history of Calimex cooking that got us things like the mission style burrito, you know, that came out of San Francisco. So I think that he's really, this is a personal restaurant for him. It's also worth noting that, you know, that'll be there in sort of its open air concept for about a year. And then he's planning to move it maybe somewhere else and open a more sit down a little fancier restaurant that's going to serve Nigerian food as well.
Awesome. Well, let's head to Arden Arcade, where there's an Ethiopian restaurant, Abyssina. I actually tried it after I read your list of restaurants to try in Sacramento. It's been around for a little over a decade in 2012. Talk to us about this restaurant's ability to really thrive for over a decade now.
Yeah, you know, Fulton Avenue, where Abyssinia is kind of, I think, an underrated destination for eats from different countries, and Abyssinia is one of the best ones out there. It's a pretty traditional Ethiopian restaurant. They make injera, that spongy, kind of tangy bread in-house. And, you know, my favorite thing to do there is just go with one or two people and get sort of a sampler platter of all these different stews. And some of them are meat. A lot of them are vegetarian, you know, and just mop up with the injera some doro wat, which is like a spicy chicken stew, or kifte, which is this like rare beef thing, you know, stew. And, you know, it's pretty traditional on the inside. It's run by Elfinesh Berry, who's the owner as well. And I think it's just really flavorful, well-spiced food. You can get a glass of honey wine called Tej while you're there as well. It's a really nice time.
Yeah, I did the same thing. I brought some friends and we sampled a lot of food. For someone who hasn't had Ethiopian food, how do you describe it?
It's flavorful. It's not some things are spicy, but it's not typically super duper spicy, I'd say. You know, a lot of Ethiopians practice a form of Orthodox Christianity that requires them to abstain from eating meat for many days out of the year. And so there are really a lot of great vegan and vegetarian dishes baked into the culture.
Yeah.
So it can be an underrated destination.
Without even realizing that it's vegan.
Yeah,
you know, because it's so good. So, yeah. Okay, last but not least, of course, is Kolo Soul Food. And that used to be located in the Oak Park neighborhood as Cora Lorraine's Soul Food, but it moved to North Sacramento. Why is this a must-try soul food spot in Sacramento? I completely agree. I've been there. I've had their smothered deep-fried pork chop. It is just incredible. But what do you love about Kolo's?
You know, it really tastes to me like what Southern down-home soul food should be. Tamar McCree, who owns it with her husband, Kevin, she's from Louisiana originally. They met in Oakland, and they moved out here and just really, you know, added something to the Sacramento culinary scene. Their spot in Oak Park was really just a stand. You got your food to go and got out of there, and they've created sort of more of a sit-down environment there on Del Paso Boulevard now, with things like, you know, shrimp and grits or fried chicken and, you know, really homey stick to your ribs kind of stuff that tastes great, in my opinion.
Yeah. And they opened just before the pandemic. And so they really went through it, you know, when opening up a business and a restaurant. And now they are growing in ways with like music. And also they have comedians. Like, talk to us about how their dining experience has evolved in recent years.
Yeah. So when they were in Oak Park, you know, as I said, you sort of just grabbed your food and went. And when they opened the full restaurant, they really wanted to be a place where people, especially Black people or people interested in Black culture, could come and celebrate that. So they have a lot of live music. They have dancing. They have comedians. You know, they want to be a community space there on Del Paso Boulevard. They've also, you know, they've been open for 3 or 4 years now, which is longer than a lot of restaurants make it. They really had some troubles getting going. I mean, Kevin, you know, was hospitalized. He almost lost a few fingers of his through some accidents in getting the restaurants up and running. And, you know, they're fighters. They really stuck it out there and built something for themselves. So I'm happy to go there.
And a beloved piece in that neighborhood, too.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Benji, as always, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
That is Benji Eagle, the food and beverage reporter for the Sacramento Bee, discussing his selections for Black-owned restaurants to try. That is it for Insight today. You can learn more about our guests at capradio.org/insight. You can also subscribe to the Insight podcast. If you want to join the conversation, you can email us, insight@capradio.org. Thank you to producers Nick Dobis and Victor Corral Martinez, with managing editor Arm Sarkissian. Our digital producer is Megan Minata. Insight's technical director is Mark Jones, and our engineer is Antonio Munez. Our show music is produced by Adrian Gilmore. And I'm Vicki Gonzalez. Thanks for joining us. Have a great day. We'll catch you back here tomorrow.